Welcome to the Early Accountability Podcast hosted by Kimmy Walker. Kimmy has a track record of serving as a behavior change and improvement catalyst for individuals, groups, and organizations. Get ready to make the best version of yourself a priority. Now welcome Kimmy Walker.
Kimmy Walker here, and welcome to the next episode of the Early Accountability Podcast. Today, my guest is so unique, and I'm so happy to have her here, Laris Green, aka DJ Laris. So Laris is located in the Atlanta metro area. She is originally from Tennessee, and she is going to talk to us today about the importance of music, what music means to her, how you can set the tone for different events with your music, and how she transitioned from working for the government into doing her passion project full time now. Laris, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Please tell us about you. Like, how did you become a DJ? How long have you been DJing? You know, when did your love for music start?
Well, my love for music actually started when I was a little girl. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, and my dad was a huge music lover. So throughout my childhood, he always had music playing and always schooled me on artists and the era that he grew up in music. So as I grew up, I adapted my own style and interest of music that, you know, spoke to me, but also I ventured out very young. And also, like I said, being in Nashville, which is Music City, I had a lot of opportunities just to explore different genres. And one of the things that me and my father loved to do was go to Tower Records. And that was an outing. And we would do that. And we also hit up places, other record stores. So I was collecting music. Probably, I would say the first piece of music I bought, I was like 8 years old. So I have always done that just as a pastime, as a hobby. It's gotten me through life in general. But I was working for the government right out of college. And I have been doing that for 14 and a half years. And in between that, I would create mixes. I would create CDs that I would travel with because I would travel probably like 75% of the time. So that's where I began to collect and just generate an idea of creating playlists for moods. And once I moved to Atlanta in 2010, and it was a year after my father passed, I knew that I needed to step out and do what I truly love, what I was just called to do in my heart, which was just create music. So that's where I really just started exploring DJing and networking with a lot of DJs in the Atlanta area and just learning the art, the culture itself, combined with my love for the music. And as you see right now, I have decided to do it full time, which is the biggest blessing that I could have. And it's something that I know that I was born to do, actually.
At what point did you feel like, I really want to do this all the time, not just part of the time? What were some of the things that you noticed, whether it was in your life, like mentally, with your performance? Like, what did that feel like?
I knew that I wanted to transition into music shortly after my father passed. I was working for the government, but one of the things that I took note of is my dad passed before he could even retire. And that just didn't seem right to me. And I knew that I didn't want to die doing what I was doing. I knew that that terrified me. And I knew music is what I loved. I just didn't know how I could generate income, support myself in the way that I was accustomed to through music. But when I moved to Atlanta, I linked up with a lot of different DJs, and I really just learned the culture and learned just different areas and opportunities to grow in the area. And as I was still with the government, I was DJing and exploring these opportunities on the side. And every day that I would go into work, I would just know that that's not where I was supposed to be. I just knew. Every day I said, I'm spending all this time on somebody else's dream or somebody else's vision and not spending time on my own. And so this past year, I had a lot of issues with my job, and it just opened up the door for me to really step out on faith and just do what I knew that I was called to do.
How hard was the transition? I know it's, you know, like when you say it, you can say it like in a minute or something like that. But that's a very, very hard transition because you had been at your job for like 14 years, correct?
Yes. Yes. It was a hard transition. To be honest, it was actually a push by my job. You know, I actually lost my job. I won't get in specifics, but a lot of internal things happened and I was somewhat blindsided while I was away on vacation. And I spent probably 3 or 4 months just trying to figure out what was going on. In that process, I just really started to seek God. I really, really leaned into my faith. So to ask how I got through that was just my faith alone, because I just knew there was something greater. So I knew there was, this wasn't a mistake. And I knew even prior to having issues with my job, I already had this in my gut, in my intuition. So I had to lean in heavily and really build my relationship with God in a way that I never even knew was necessary, or really what I would say the elders of the church and older people that I just looked up to would tell me about building your relationship with God. But it was during this process, within the last, I would say, 9 months, that I had sought a higher source, a higher power to lean into and trust. Because again, I have a mortgage, I have bills, I have responsibilities, and just to try to understand how I was going to be able to keep all that afloat, you really can't fathom. But what I will tell you, Kimmy, is the moment that I trust, the moment that I leaned into that faith, things started come out the sky. And I promise you that. I promise you, things began to align that I could never visualize. Opportunities came my way that I didn't even know existed. And I know that was because I trusted. I said, no matter what, this is what God is calling me to do. There's no mistake in that. So I have to trust this. If that means I lose my house, that means I lose my house. If that means I have to file bankruptcy. But what it means is I trust that much that, hey, I'm going to pursue this and I'm going to give everything I got to this. And once I did that, once I truly put everything I had in it, things aligned that I had never envisioned for myself. And it continues to do so.
So for you, a big one was staying grounded in your faith.
Yes.
During the times of transition. What other tips or steps would you say someone would need to take if they're kind of in a similar position that you were, whether it's something didn't work out with their job or they're just mentally, I speak to a lot of people like literally just mentally can't take it anymore at their job. You know, what would you say to that?
Well, the first key, the first tip is affirmations. I used to hear that over and over for years, and I would be like, yeah, that makes sense. Affirmations. Affirmations meaning I would affirm things about myself that I knew was true. And that's driven off faith. That's just driven off your belief system. But you have to speak things into your life that you want. And I truly believe that there are times where things are so rough, you're just like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know. But if you truly just speak it in your life, every single day you begin to manifest it. So affirmations, I would say, is key. You have to believe in yourself, because even stepping out on anything on your own, you're going to have to trust yourself. You're going to have to trust your gut. You're going to have to trust the very decisions that you're making. And the only true way to feel wholeheartedly in that decision is to actually love and know that you are making the best decision for yourself, because you can't look for anybody else to do that for you. Right. So you have to build that up. And the best way for me was affirmations. I still do. I get up every morning and do affirmations. I do affirmations throughout the day just because I need the reminder of, hey, you can do this. You are called to do this. God doesn't make any mistakes. For me, reading, I began reading books that really inspired me and spoke to me, began to unlock things that I thought I knew, but I had no idea. So that also fed into my affirmations, because I realized I was feeding myself a lot of negativity daily, which was keeping me stuck in a place where I couldn't move. So I had to basically go back and, where did I get that? Where did I get that notion? Why do I feel that way about myself? Why I feel like it's too late? Or why can't I do this? I had to go back and say, no, that's a lie. So I would highly, highly recommend just starting with self and just little things, affirmations each day. they're so powerful, because what you're doing is you're speaking the very things into your life. So you get to choose if it's going to be positive or negative. We get to choose that. We have to actually know that's what we're doing.
Right, right. What other pointers would you give for someone? Because I know it can be rough, like you said, when if finances are getting tight. Do you suggest like getting another job or, you know, sometimes, because that's a stressor in itself too, you know, like
yes.
You said.
Well, first and foremost, acknowledge where you're at financially. Acknowledge what you can do. For me, I realized I had to take a hard look at what was coming in and what was going out, my income and outflow. I had to actually look at that. And I realized there was a lot of things I could cut. There was a lot of overspending. There was a lot of things that just wasn't necessary. So that's why I would say, first and foremost, you have to take self-inventory, but trust that you can do anything. If it's necessary to get a job, get a job. For me, when I tell you that things began to align for me, before I left my job, I was probably getting maybe one gig a month, maybe. After I just let go of the reins, I stay booked. I am grateful for it, but it's not something that I expected. I already had a plan that if I wasn't getting more gigs, then I would have to start Uber and Lyfting. I knew that there was something out there that was going to still allow me to generate income. So you have to first take a look at your situation, but understand there's so many avenues for you to be able to live your dream and be able to support yourself. But it will take a lot of self-discipline to take that self-inventory and really look at the things that you need to cut and eliminate.
How are you promoting yourself and marketing yourself?
Oh, that was a big turning point. Social media. I am a firm believer of using this good old free internet. and that is Instagram, that is Facebook, SoundCloud. Right now, I'm actually a music curator for a music label. So I'm learning even more marketing tips that I'm using for my personal brand. And with that is hashtagging. When I tell you that things have aligned for me, I got a opportunity to DJ David Banner's birthday party out of the blue, just literally a DM through social media, because some of his people were looking for a female DJ and his associates had already seen me on social media. And by me just, again, spreading what I do. When I create, I put it out there because, again, that's what I feel like it's for. I feel like I'm here to share the gift that God has given me. So that's what I do. And they hit me up and said, would you do it? And I mean, of course. But that was strictly through social media. I had never actually personally met these people. They just only see me and see my work through social media. And that's why I would highly recommend. In my field, of course, I'm a DJ. But I think in any field, you need to be able to show people what you actually can do. They need to be able to Google you, hashtag, and be able to find what it is that you can do. Because this is a whole world out here. And the first thing I had to do was let go of just Atlanta. I wanted to expand my brand to this world. I wanted to attract the individuals and the energies that love the music and the creative experiences that I created to me. And the internet is the perfect environment to do that. It's just learning how to navigate through that. But I'm an advocate and I'm trying to figure out how to get my YouTube up, because YouTube and the copyright is a little sticky for DJ.
Oh, yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah.
Which is our sticky tape. But right now I'm using everything that I can. And it's been working out really well. Again, I'm meeting people in California and just across this country, and people in Japan are listening to my mixes. It's crazy of how the power of the internet is. So again, for anybody listening, just understand whatever your brand, whatever it is you're trying to put out there, you can give it to the whole world through the internet.
Before I had you talk about your services, I did have one other question I wanted to ask you. You're a DJ, and I know DJing has kind of primarily been more of a male dominated field.
Yeah.
How do you kind of stay focused with that? Like, what tips would you give for people who are kind of doing something where they might not necessarily fit in the status quo?
That's better when you don't fit in the status quo. You get to stand out.
Yeah.
You get to stand out. For me, again, I tell you, faith and trusting that this is what I'm called to do. I wholeheartedly believe that. So if I'm the only female in the room, then that means I'm supposed to be here and I'm supposed to represent for my females. And I also learned that every door isn't for me. Mm. So it's to trust that when the opportunities come, that I'm prepared and ready to do it. But if I see something that I'm like, man, I don't know why I couldn't get that far. What did I do wrong? It's like, that's not your door. That's not for you. That's for somebody else.
Right.
So it's knowing and trusting that that helps me navigate through this DJ world. Because I'm not going to lie, it's a lot of DJs. It's a lot of DJs in Atlanta. And believe it or not, it's a lot of female DJs in Atlanta. So it can seem a little rough or tough, but I believe we all have a niche. We all have an individual gift that God has given us that nobody else can do. So it's your job to figure that out. And it's your job to cultivate that gift. And it's your job to give that gift to the world. So that's how you know it's for you, because this is what God gave me. See, there's not another lyricist. There's not another DJ lyricist out there. There's not another DJ that's going to give you the same experiences that I'm going to give you, because I'm giving it to you through my gift, through my heart. And I believe if everybody followed that, you wouldn't worry about what type of industry in. You just know that this is what you're called to do. And as long as you cultivate that gift, you're going to be able to push through anything.
Lyris, how can the audience learn more about your services? Like I know you say your outreach is bigger than just the Atlanta metro area. How can people learn more about you and stay connected to you?
Well, please follow me on Facebook, DJ Lyris page. I keep it simple. My name, Lyris, means music, lyric. It's the root word. So I keep all my social media handles the same. Facebook's DJ Lyris. Instagram is DJ Lyris. As far as I'm also a music curator, and I would really love people to see a different side of what I do by music curating, because that's literally what a DJ does. We just curate music for people. And that is under Music 2. And again, that will be under Lyris Green. So I don't go by any aliases. I want you to be able to find me. but if you want to listen to any of my mixes, and I've been putting out mixes for over 2 years now, you can go to soundcloud.com, DJ underscore L-Y-R-I-S.
Perfect. you have been through a lot this year, but you're going through greater.
Mm-hmm.
What is your daily mantra, one of your daily mantras?
Well, again, faith-driven. I live by Romans 8:28, which is all things will work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose, which to me means anything that comes my way, I know that it's for the greater good. That means anything that comes my way, losing a job, losing an opportunity, or having my hopes on something and it doesn't come through. Or, you know, just even something that might happen during the day that just throws your whole plan off. That means that is supposed to happen. So it helps me go through my day knowing that, hey, whatever I have planned, God has greater plans and is trusting that. So I start my day off, like I said, with affirmations, and that's one of my affirmations. It's just allowing God to use me in whatever way he wants me to be used today. And that helps. It frees me from a lot of stress, believe it or not, because I'm not trying to control. I'm not trying to control this. I'm not trying to control that. I'm just going to be open to whatever comes my way and be ready to perform or be able to respond or whatever it is that somebody needs or I need to do. And that, again, start with daily affirmations is key, because that's how you're going to start your day, then, what you tell yourself.
Yes. DJ Lyris, L-Y-R-I-S, on social media. If you're not inspired to walk in your purpose after this episode, I don't know what will do it. Thank you so much for your time, your talent, and thank you so much for sharing your story and touching others who are probably going through the exact same thing right now.
Thank you for giving me a platform to share my story. I really do appreciate that.
Thank you. Until next time, tune into the Early Accountability Podcast.
It was a pleasure to have you join us on this episode of the Early Accountability Podcast with Kimmy Walker. Be sure to visit earlyaccountability.com to sign up for the Early Accountability newsletter. We look forward to activating your greatness and helping you reach your goals.